Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Joining us now on the Harbor One Hotline, it is the time for the Midweek Clubhouse Report with our friend Rob Bradford, brought to us by McFarland Energy, close friends of Rob Bradford. McFarland Energy, Greater Boston and Cape Cod's choice for dependable heating and cooling solutions at McFarlandEnergy.com. Bradford, good morning. And Keith and I were just talking about deep dish pizza. I know that you're an awakened guy as well. Do you dare allow yourself to have a slice in Chicago, or do you stay away?
Well, first of all, top of the McFarland to you guys. And let me just tell you this. The other night, I met up with our good friend Joe Kelly, and he convinced me to actually partake in the deep dish pizza for the first time in years upon years. And I felt so guilty. I felt so guilty, but it was so good. It's like I have fried clams once a year, and I will do this once a year. Those two things are worth it.
I'm with you.
Bradford, I saw on Twitter that you were going to be speaking with the world's hottest hitter later today. Trevor Story is going to be on the Bradford show. What are some of the questions you have for Story, who has turned it around better than anybody that I can ever remember?
Well, the biggest question is why he doesn't have his own signature shoe.
Yes.
Right? I mean, he's a huge sneakerhead, and he's a better player than Francisco Lindor. And so why don't you have your own signature shoe? People want to know that.
Mm-hmm.
And then on top of that, it's, you know, what to feel like to be booed and how you turn it around and all of that. But, yes, the timing is very good, as is the case usually with all Bradford Show guests.
Do you think Story, from what you do know about him, yes, yeah, the Bradford Show guests. Yeah,
how John Anderson of yeah. Bradford to slide that in there. That was good. That would be a John line.
Joining Joe Kelly and others. Now, from what
was there a more written about person the other day in baseball than Joe Kelly? No.
Tim Anderson. Maybe Josh Donaldson.
That's right.
Maybe. Okay. Does Trevor Story strike you as somebody who would sort of understand why the fans booed him, or would he be like, screw you guys? Like, you didn't give me a chance, and now I'm hitting the snot out of it. Don't cheer me now. You can all go to hell.
No, I think he totally understands, and I think that whole thing when he struck out four times and went hitting for 2 hours and didn't talk to the media, he had no idea. Like, I've seen guys duck out from the media when they haven't been going well or they have a bad game. This wasn't the case. I mean, he just had no idea. I think it was just miscommunication. He's the type of guy, being around him a little bit now, that he's going to stand up there. You know, and I use the example a few different times where, you know, Alex Cora was the best at it, the absolute best. And not only in terms of him standing in front of the media and understanding that dynamic of accountability, even like he would miss a bunt and he'd be out in front of his locker like a Buckingham Palace guard, you know, ready to answer questions.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm serious. But he was also really good about telling his teammates. I remember Eric Gagne was his buddy. Eric Gagne bailed out after blowing a save, and Cora was the one that said, no, you can't do that. You got to stand there. I don't think Cora needed to do that with Story, because Story gets it. I think it's just this miscommunication.
Rob Bradford, WEEI.com with Gresham Keefe. He joins us on the Harbor One Hotline, and he's also brought to us by McFarland Energy. I asked Keefe this question, Bradford. I pose it to you. Better turnaround after a slow start, Nick Pivetta or Trevor Story?
Ooh, good one. Excellent. That's as good as my over-under on Jason Tatum at 30 the other night, taking the over and hitting by one.
hey now.
Better turnaround, Nick Pivetta or Trevor Story? I think that I'm going to go with Trevor Story because I think that was more dramatic. Now, obviously, Pivetta wasn't good, but Pivetta had been in Boston. Pivetta had done his thing on this stage in the playoffs. So you felt like, okay, you know, it's been a few starts, but there's a possibility he's going to turn it around. Now, he's been really, really good. But with Story, you know, we talked about it on this show. Like, this guy, it was trending in a terrible direction. Like, when you're bringing up Carl Crawford, you know it's not going well. And then all of a sudden, you're talking about, what, 6 home runs in 5 games, more RBIs in baseball by a long shot in the last week. Like, all of it. And as I said to you guys, once again, I was prescient saying that it was non-negotiable that Trevor Story hit. Like, this was the guy that needed to hit. Kike Hernandez after the game, that's exactly what he said. What's the difference? Trevor Story. He makes the world go round when it comes to this lineup.
Rob, am I just being a honk in thinking that we underestimated Trevor Story switching leagues as a part of the slow start? Or is that just pie eye in the sky excuse making?
Oh, I mean, listen, you don't want to make excuses in any way because it is what it is. You know what you're getting into. You got to get – but we can go down the laundry list of reasons why Story got off to a bad start. I don't know if switching leagues is the biggest thing because there's so much crossover in the leagues. It's not like the old days. But I do think that sort of this disjointed start that he had, that factored in. And I also do believe, I'm a big believer of this, which is when you switch teams for the first time, especially when you're a big name guy, you have to find that moment. You have to find that, like, that level of acceptance. And there's guys that say, yeah, I hit the home run that day and boom, there it was. Like, I think Story had that about a week ago and it's like the monkey off the back. I mean, that you can see it. He's playing a completely different all around ever since that. And I do think that that's a big part of it.
If Trevor Story finishes the year with, 30 home runs, 100 RBI, a good OPS, like he had a few times in Colorado, does that make it easier for the front office to not re-sign Xander Bogaerts?
Yeah, I mean, it's science, right? I mean, it just makes too much sense. And they'll say no, and one has nothing to do with the other. But I'm not saying that they signed Trevor Story because of this was the main reason that you got leverage for Xander Bogaerts, but you're covering yourself. And so if it doesn't work out with Xander, then, yeah, you have the next guy until Marcelo Meyer, whoever else, a couple of years down the road. So, yeah, I mean, of course it makes it easier. We had this conversation like a few weeks ago where you're like, oh, man, this is not trending well for the Red Sox. It is trending really well for Xander. Mm-hmm. Like, Xander's still going to make his money. But for the Red Sox, this is peace of mind saying, well, if it doesn't work out, we feel pretty good about the player that we're going to have at shortstop next year.
Rob Bradford, WEEI.com, here with Gresham Keefe. I know right now on WEEI.com, Rob, there's a story up about Rafi Devers not engaging the Red Sox in extension discussions. Is that pure business? How do you read that just in terms of Rafi not really wanting to talk turkey during the year?
Well, obviously, the Globe got the quote from Bogaerts about a week and a half ago about saying, hey, you know what, I'll be open to it. And then his agent said, no, we're not open to it.
Not, actually.
So, yeah. Scott Boras is saying, I like you personally, Xander, but we're waiting. with Devers, so I just was like, well, I don't think anyone's asked Devers about this. Did he change his mind? Because we know that at the end of spring training, he said, I'm not talking to their season. And so I just asked him this yesterday, and he said, no. And it ended at spring training. No, nothing's changed. I'm not talking. And he did it in a very affable way and like with a smile on his face. It's like no ill will toward the team or anything. But he was like, no, this is my approach. And so I think that, with Devers, it's sort of along the lines of Mookie. I get a lot of Mookie from him.
Oh, yeah.
Where it gets the outward, it's a business. But I do feel like Devers has dug in on understanding how the business works, what he should be comped to, how the thing might play out, all of that. Like, he isn't just – I think Xander is more of the ilk of, hey, I really love to play here, and if you come close, I'm probably going to sign. I think Devers is more business related in understanding how this sort of thing might play out.
Now, it's hard to know because I don't think they're going to come flat out and say the answer, so we may not know until it actually happens. But do you think Heim Bloom and the whole front office is willing to give any player, say, $350 or $400 million, whether it's Devers or somebody else? Like, is that just something where they have a line in the sand on that, or would they be willing to go that high?
I mean, it's impossible to answer, but all we can do is go by what they've done to this point. And, you know, obviously they signed Story, but Story, I mean, that's $140 million. I mean, that's right. Not $300 million. No. Devers is a completely different conversation. And as we said, like, if you're Devers, you start with a Machado contract, 26 years old, 10 years, $300 million. Like, you start there if I'm Devers. So does Bloom do that? You know, I mean the weird thing is that this, it comes also back to what we talked about, I think, last week, which was ownership. Where's ownership fall on this? Mm-hmm. Because if ownership is letting Heim Bloom just do his thing, my guess is that he wouldn't do a deal like that. That's my guess. It's the whole, you don't run isolations for a third baseman argument. You know, one player at that price making up that much of the payroll isn't worth it. That's my guess. Yeah. But ownership, I have to imagine, has to step in at some point, particularly if Bogaerts doesn't work out, and really say, hey, listen, you know what? We gotta change the approach. Just, we got to tweak a little bit because it's the business side of things. Again, that's my complete guess, but I think that that's certainly a path that they could go down.
Rob, when the Red Sox get to 500 eventually here, whether it's at the end of this series or heading into this, you know, run of just awful teams they're going to play, will it kind of feel like a weight lifted off their shoulders? You're kind of around this group. Will there be like a less pressure on this team once they finally get back to par?
Oh, they already feel it. They know they're going to come to get 500 soon here. They know it. I mean, basically Cora referenced that, I think, before the game yesterday or after the game. He said, you know, we're just about there. And what he's talking about is 500. So, and then you talk about being around the team and the vibe. Like, it was striking to me, like, being outside the clubhouse door. It's, you know, like 11 o'clock at night Chicago time after this just mundane blowout. And you can hear, like, this rhythmic clapping and this dancing. I'm like, doesn't everyone want to go home? Like, what's going on? But you know, you do feel in there like, okay, you know what? They feel really good about themselves right now. And barring unforeseen circumstances, you know, I think they've sort of found themselves and what they want to be. And now it's on them for it taking this long. But still, as we sit here right now, that's the vibe.
Were you and other writers in there to see that? Like, were you and Pete Abe and all these others trying to figure out what this rhythmic dancing is? A lot like, you know, in a movie with the African anteater dance and stuff like that, for that Can't Buy Me Love, I think it was.
That's exactly what I did. I burst through the door. I said, have you ever seen Can't Buy Me Love? I mean, to everybody. And they said, what are you talking about? I said, the Patrick Dempsey classic.
Yes.
The African anteater dance. Yes. No, I was not able to get to the bottom of it, but it did remind me. I wrote this. So back in, this is dating myself, but 2007, Hideki Okajima, they had the Okie Dokie song, and the song Okie Dokie, you can Google, it's worth a Google. And they were playing in a rain delay in Chicago in that same locker room where this blaring Okie Dokie song dancing around. But you know, when you ask guys about it, when you go in there and you say, hey, you know what were you doing? Like, they're going to downplay it. They do not want, I don't think, people to let them in behind the curtain right now. It's like the money gun thing. You know, you ask players about that. They're like, yeah, it's just a thing. Ask this guy, ask that guy. Like, they're insulated to this world. And there is definitely an element on this team. And I'm not saying this is right. Of like, we told you, which my answer to that would be, well, when you're terrible, you can't really tell us. You can't just assume.
Yeah, right.
But you know, listen, the Patriots did this for years, right? Hey, you know, like, nobody believed in us. Well, here's the ESPN experts. Everybody believed in you. So, but there definitely is that sort of vibe coming out. And listen, whatever. I mean, that's how it works, right? So good for them.
Rob Bradford, WEEI.com. He's on the road with the Red Sox. Check out all his work at .com. Thank you, friend.
Thanks,
thank you, Rob. We'll see you.
All right, guys. I'll see you.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.